Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, August the 7th, 220th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, working hard during the summer, even though he doesn't think he has to, Bill McCauley.
Hi, Brian.
Oh, that's right. You had vacations off, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I actually have a little bit of skin pigmentation that's not normal. So I've seen this thing that casts shadows on the ground.
It was a spray can again?
And creates warmth from above. Anyway, so I've been fortunate. I've had a little bit of time to catch the sun.
What, propane?
No, fortunately, I've not had to do the propane thing. It's been more civilized and all that.
This afternoon, we'll talk about just a little bit about some of the stuff that California is relying upon in the fall ballot. Talk about that a little bit. And also, what next year may or may not portend. How's that for a fancy word, huh?
Nice.
Yeah.
Well played.
You said delusion, I say portend.
You're a portender.
Yes, yes. I can't spell that word either. Anyway, we'll figure out what we're going to talk about when we come back.
I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Viette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Boyle. No, I forget. Ball game. It was what popped in my head, but the timing was a little soft. Bill McCauley. But before we do, our quote this afternoon is an anonymous one, so we can give attribution to one of your partners if you want.
Sure.
Who's the most heady one?
Heady?
Heady. Not swollen, not watermelon. Well, intelligent.
That would have to be Phil Holland.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. He's the one I'm thinking might be listening.
Okay. Protect the home front at all costs. Got that. Quote, if your ship doesn't come in, swim out to it.
There you go.
That's kind of...
Be a swimmer.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, mm-hmm. I was a volleyballer today at lunch.
Were you?
Yeah, I sat down and watched the volleyball game.
Wow.
Was it the Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico or one of those? One of those little guys.
Well, Brian, everybody's little
celebrating
compared to you.
Celebrating the American bias in coverage of the Olympics.
Exactly, exactly. Let's be jingoistic.
Yeah.
Were you wearing your American flag, you know, for as a cape or something?
No, boy, there were some discussions yesterday about that. I guess in the Olympic Village you can buy pretty much any clothing apparel in any flag.
Hmm.
That you'd want. So if you wanted to wear the, I don't know, Libyan as a t-shirt, jacket, pants, whatever, you could.
Really?
And it was just bringing up the conversation then about the American flag and, you know, if it's on pants, do you sit on it? Is it a blanket?
I think
if it's a jacket?
It's all problematic stuff for, you know, based on our flag laws. So.
Yeah. Well, and are these real flags or not?
Yeah, I don't know the answer.
Et cetera, et cetera. It was an interesting dialogue.
That's probably a lot more interesting than anything I have to say.
Well, let's jump into that boring stuff then, huh? We have got, certainly on the fall ballot, a lot of different things that are going to impact the future of our lives. If we just focus on the state at this point and leave the others for others to debate. Tax code. Sales tax, all that kind of stuff. What do you see when you're reading the literature in association with the fall ballot for California? Do you read good stuff? Do you read Do you see train wreck? Do you see shell game? What do you see when you read these attempts at helping out the state's economic health?
Well, I question whether most of those things are really focused on the state's economic health. I think they're focused on the state of California's budget and its deficits. But I'm not sure that's necessarily the state's budget deficits and the economic health of the state as a whole are totally aligned, I guess, is one thought. But from the standpoint that, you know, Governor Brown did his best to try to clear the decks on the ballot for his ballot initiative that will include a couple of principal elements. One of them is going to be a quarter cent sales tax increase across the board for 4 years, which would be effective January 1, 2013. So 2013, 14, 15, 16 would all have a quarter cent bump in the sales tax rate. In addition, there'll be income tax. That his ballot initiative will include provision for income tax increases on individuals who make more than $250,000. And some of that's a little vague yet, and we're kind of waiting for what the final wording is going to be, because that's kind of been, the ultimate description as to what that's going to be isn't available to my knowledge. Concurrently, there are two other individuals that one of them is Molly Munger. That name sticks in my brain. And she has a Prop 38 that will have temporary increases in income tax rates, and I think only income tax rates, and those monies would go strictly to K-12 schools. And then finally, there's a ballot initiative out there that's put in place by a hedge fund manager named Tom Steyer, and that one will be Prop 39, and Prop 39 will temporarily increase income taxes on all categories of taxpayers, and again, will increase the sales tax factor on the allocation methodology for multi-state businesses, and so that could have some. So there's some different pieces that, and there's a question how they'd all fit together, and ultimately, if there's conflicting language in one of these provisions, and if all three pass, then the one that got the most votes has got, on the conflicting provision, I guess, would win. I'm not sure how that would be adjudicated or determined, but
yeah, you do. Slowly and expensively.
Well, that's true. So at this point, what we're seeing in California is there's these very defined elements that are out there, and it's going to make some change one way or another if passed.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley about the fall that's coming up. Bill, as you look at these four different proposed revenue enhancements that we'll be voting on, seeing the state income tax go up another 0.25% probably isn't that big a deal.
The state sales tax would go up.
What did I say, income?
Yeah.
Oops. State sales tax. Unless you happen to be Tahoe, next to Nevada, certainly Crescent City, any of the borderline communities where the community can go across the line. Not for the gallon of milk, but for the larger purchases. I mean, if you're looking almost at 9.5% or 10% versus a zero tax state, that's a big difference.
Even at the price of gas now. It's easy for people to see.
Piece of cake.
I can drive from Crescent City to Brookings, and
one gallon. Okay, so you invest $4.
Yeah, and have a pretty good savings depending on the amount of shop. Depending on what you're buying. What that can do is it can drive major consumable purchases. To retailers who are out of the state.
Yeah, it's almost like Oregon and Nevada and Arizona ought to be donating. to help make this thing more palatable so it gets voted on, because it could, I would think, represent in a measurable increase in revenue for those jurisdictions.
Yeah, the challenge that California has is that, and this has been the case before any of these propositions, is that California is disproportionately dependent on volatile revenue. And when we talk about volatile revenue, we're talking about those revenues that tend to fluctuate with economic conditions. So you're thinking about sales tax is a volatile revenue. It tends to fluctuate based upon economic conditions. Income tax is a very volatile revenue source. It fluctuates heavily based upon economic conditions. So you say, well, what should we, you know, what kinds of sources should we have that are less volatile? Well, it's easy to see. Property taxes, as an example, are a pretty stable source.
Yeah, they used to have it and walked away from it.
Right. And so property taxes are a pretty stable source of revenue, and the states that are more dependent upon property taxes and other less volatile revenues have less problems dealing with these fluctuations in the economy when they occur. California, we not only don't learn that lesson, we're going to go back at the well for a bigger, for another gulp by increasing, if we do agree with Governor Brown that we need to increase the sales tax rate and we need to increase the income tax rates on people making $250,000 or more a year, then what's going to happen is we're going to have more volatile revenue. Both of these provisions sunset. So, you're looking at a 7-year sunset on the income tax provisions, a 4-year sunset on the sales tax provisions. So ultimately, they're either going to be back at the trough later saying, we need you to vote on this again. I mean, think about the utility users tax here in the city of Eureka. It had a sunset. We voted on it again. And, these things tend, once they get there, to stay in place. And
but so, at least renewing with a sunset, you have the option, rather than implementing and locking like so many.
Well, and that is true. I mean, if you put it in without a sunset, I mean, the sunset's in there as a, as a bit of an incentive for people to vote for it, saying, well, it is going to go away. And so, we can all, I guess, have our own judgment about whether we think that's really likely to occur or not. But the point is, California is, and people point to Proposition 13 and say, look, the problem is Proposition 13. Proposition 13, froze property tax, the rate of increase in property taxes to a point where California can't sustain itself. The other thing to keep in mind is when you look at California's budget is that California, if it had only increased its spending since Prop 13 was enacted until this date, based upon the rate of growth in the population and also factoring in an inflation factor, California would still be running a surplus. So the point is, there's other issues here. Now we can all, we can all evaluate for ourselves, whether or not, our level of spending is appropriate and what kinds of things may or may not, whether they're necessary or not. But that needs to be part of the discussion, because clearly, our cost structures are getting to the point where they're not sustainable. And that's not a healthy thing for our kids and our grandchildren. And that's the concern, I focus on the most. It's one thing to say, well, gee, somebody's going to have to pay more taxes. I'm going to have to pay more sales taxes. Okay. But the problem is I don't see this solving the issue for the long term. Instead, it's just kind of putting a Band-Aid on it. And we need to get some fundamental cost control as well.
Do any of these propositions or initiatives in the fall indicate anything more than just more of the same?
No, in terms of spending? Or cost control?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, these initiatives do not address those parts of the equation, and it's very difficult. I mean, I think we all know that. I mean, if you give your kid an allowance, try taking it back. It's challenging. Or if I get used to having cable television at home, and now I'm used to it, and believe me, I'm used to it. I like my HD sports. I mean, I want to watch baseball or football in HD. Well, if you have to take that, if I have to give that up because I can't afford it, I'm not going to like it. And that's the same thing that, you know, that we all, and granted, I'm using discretionary items, but the principle applies across the board.
It's 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with CPA Bill McCauley. This afternoon we're talking a bit about California, the fall proposition that is in front of us at the ballot. Notice I didn't say propositions, I said proposition.
Uh-huh.
Just for those who might be listening at home. What about next year, Bill? We've got the budget, great. We've got the calendar year. We've got laws. We've got this. We've got that. We've got all these things that are out there floating around. What does 2013 look like?
Well, 2013 is going to be, from California's perspective, it's going to depend on what happens with these ballot initiatives. If the ballot initiatives don't pass, then especially Brown's, if Governor Brown's ballot initiatives do not pass, there will end up having to be some cuts. I mean,
and his is the quarter percent?
Quarter cent. Sales tax increase in income taxes on those making over $250,000.
Both of them have to pass.
Both are part of it's the same ballot proposition. They're connected. I think it's Prop 30. So, so that's going to be California will be interesting if none of these propositions pass, because it's going to mean that there'll be a reckoning with some of the stuff that we just keep avoiding. And that's part of the problem with California. I mean, we've had the sky is falling since Gray Davis was governor, and the sky has never fallen. And we Californians are getting tone deaf. We don't believe it when our electeds tell us stuff because they're not credible. And we have heard it over and over again, and we just don't think there's any particular reason to be excited about it now because it hasn't come true in the past. So California is its own little interesting world. And then you look at what's going to happen with the U.S. government and its budget and the expiration of some really significant tax cuts and benefits that are going to go away as of January 1, 2013, unless somebody takes some action to the contrary. And that's what we hear now out in the world is referred to as Taxmageddon, which is, you know, the getting to January 1, 2013, there would be a trigger for some automatic cuts for spending, particularly to the military, but also to some domestic programs. In addition, you're going to have about a $500 billion increase in taxes due to the expiration of various provisions of tax law. That is going to, that, you know, that we have never had an increase in taxes of that magnitude in that short a time ever, and that's inflation adjusted ever.
So we're for hyphen inflation adjusted hyphen ever.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at that, what would happen? Would more Americans be paying taxes? Will the same Americans be paying more taxes? Are you looking at something different? How does that one play out, and why will they fight like cats and dogs to avoid it?
Well, the way it's going to play out is it's going to impact different groups in disparate ways. The reality is that the Bush tax increases that were passed in 2001 and 2003 are set to those rate reductions and other provisions of law are set to expire. And what's going to happen is most of those provisions, statistically, about 60% of that benefit went to lower and middle class taxpayers. So you're only looking at 40% going to what we call upper class, you know, or the upper end of the income tax scale. And those people are paying right now 50 or 60% of the tax burden. So, you know, you're looking at most of the disproportionately the impact is going to be felt on an income dollar per dollar basis on middle and low income taxpayers. You're going to see, number one, the current $1,000 per child tax credit that you get is going to go from back from $1,000 to $500. You're going to see tax rate decreases that, or tax rate increases go away. Capital gains rates are going to go back up. Currently, under the Bush laws, there were some marriage penalty provisions that helped do away with the marriage penalty, or at least minimize and mitigate the marriage penalty. And the marriage penalty occurs when, if you take two single parent people, calculate their taxes, and come to a total, and then you take a married couple, calculate their taxes, come to a total, and find the married couple is paying more taxes than the two single people. So there were efforts made under the Bush laws to seek some equity in those areas. Those are going to go away. The alternative minimum tax exclusion would go back down. That's a $100 billion number just in the change there. Some earned income tax credit numbers and provisions are going to go away, which means people are going to get less for earned income tax credit. Anyway, there's just this series of all these kind of watershed events coming together in a confluence, and statistically, I saw on a website that was through the Heritage Foundation, so you can filter it through the Heritage Foundation's bias, if you believe it has one, that in this congressional district, the average family would be impacted in our congressional district, the one we are residing in right at this moment, or at least the old congressional district, how it was drawn, I guess, because the new lines, it couldn't take in the new lines yet because they didn't have the statistics. But it would be about $3,000 per household increase in taxes as a result of the expiration.
Across the board.
On average. So across the country, a little higher. The number was more like $4,000 to $5,000, depending on which study you read, and the impact is about an increase of about 4.5% to 5% of the tax liability increase. So what you're seeing is a pretty significant shift as a result of that. Now, could all that change? Sure. But right now, the Congress just took their ball and went home. They're on recess. The president has been pretty occupied with other stuff and has not been, in my opinion, leading on the issue. He's been just, kind of playing politics with it, which is normal. I mean, that's what we get with our electeds a lot. And so absent any leadership, either in the Congress or from the president, what we've got is two sides who don't agree and nothing's happening. And we're going to what this is doing is it's creating more uncertainty in the economy. You got more and more people who are standing on the sidelines saying, I'm not willing to do something right now because I don't know what the estate tax law is going to be next year. I don't know what the income tax rates are going to be a year from now. Why do I want to put my capital at risk when I don't know what the rules are? It's like saying, hey, we're going to start playing this game and having the government say, yeah, and we'll tell you the rules as we go. It's problematic for people who would otherwise might be willing to take a risk.
KINS News and Information Times 343. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 347. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. Bill, if you've motivated somebody to the point of wanting to do additional research on this stuff and try to get a little bit more knowledgeable, you mentioned the Heritage Foundation earlier. Are there other sites that you can go to that don't just reek of CPA-ism?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. Actually, Smart Money has got some articles on this. You can Google Taxmageddon. There's a bunch of places you can go to get resources that are pretty. Matter of fact, I have to go get that stuff because I can't read it when it's in accountantese. But the point is there are some resources out there where you can get your arms around the issues, And, you know, will something get done? Yeah, probably something will get done. When? We don't know.
And, or enough.
And for those of us who work in taxation, planning is so difficult this fall. You almost have to have, you know, you almost have a two or three plan track depending on how the election turns out and what, you know, because people, you know, we haven't even talked about the estate tax implications, which they're massive. And that could have a really big impact depending on, you know, all of a sudden, you know, when under current law, you could have over a $5 million estate and pay no tax, estate tax. It's by law going to go to $1 million next year. Well, there's a lot more people who are going to be impacted by that threshold than the $5 million threshold. And so at some point, they're going to need to do something. What it's going to be like is going to be, I think, determined in large part by how the election goes this fall.
You know, after the election, is there enough time to make something happen? Can they wait that late? Because it looks like they're going to.
I've heard some observers say that they might even wait until the next year and make it retroactive. Kind of hard to plan for what, you know, what.
So after the fire gets burnt down, then we're going to put in the sprinklers and it'll take care of everything?
Well, I didn't say it would take care of everything, but okay. I did say that I do think there are some observers who believe that it is likely that very little will get done this year and that most of it will be done next year. I don't know what to tell you because my crystal ball is hazy when it comes to how this stuff's going to get dealt with. And there's just a lot of animosity between the political parties, and so their ability to work with one another is so limited. And it works to the detriment of us and, worse yet, future generations.
Thanks for coming by.
It's been a pleasure.
Me too. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.